Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That authority is entrusted to me. I will use the veto as needed. I will veto every single bill with earmarks.
Roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Well, I guess we have to thank God for small favors, although we now know that John McCain will veto every beer. We are not sure, but I don't think he'll veto every beard. I know that beards are anathema to Republicans who confuse beards with communists and Fidel Castro, but at least we know for now we're safe if we have beards that they won't veto the beard. They will only veto the beer. So, look, anyone can make a mistake, and of course I've been crucified for mistakes. Why shouldn't he? This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com, website. Yesterday, we talked about pornography and the damage it has done to society and to the family. Today, I was shocked to read that Sprint, Time Warner, and Verizon have agreed to block internet bulletin boards and websites nationwide that disseminate child pornography. Now, I'm not saying that it was because of my show, but it seems to me that there might be some relationship between the battle that was going on behind the scenes and the huge influence of the Savage Nation. Maybe that's why Time Warner, Sprint, and Verizon suddenly started to fold and to block child pornography. I mean, they needed somebody to pressure them. That just shows you what the profit motive can do to some people. Well, that's neither here nor there. Here are some other articles I found for you. Is Obama black or biracial? I'm not kidding you. That article originally appeared on CNN. And they're saying he's definitely black, that he can't identify as a white man. I don't know why that is. He could just as easily have said he's a white man. Wouldn't matter to me if he did. It's his politics that interest me more than his melanin content. And his politics, as you well know, are radical leftist. That's the issue, not his raciality. But the people at CNN can't get enough of this race thing, can they? Black former official sues NASCAR over harassment claims. Boo, hoo, hoo. You got to read that story. You got to read that story. There are many others. The tomato story I featured yesterday, and it's a big news story, obviously, for obvious reasons. And that is because the government has failed us again, because the FDA chief was either looking the other way or God knows why he permitted this to happen. Ultimately, the buck stops there. And today, I will tell you, it's so beautiful out on the West Coast. It's not my kind of weather, but the normal average person loves it. The normal average person, which I am not, loves heat. I detest heat. That's why I live in San Francisco. If I wanted heat, I would have lived in Veracruz or Los Angeles or something like that. But anyway, the fog is gone and it's hot, and so the idiots think this is perfect weather. So can anyone explain to me? I went down, I rode my bicycle for the first time in a year down to Fisherman's Wharf. Normally I ride my bike elsewhere. I never ride in the city, but I did today. I pumped the tires up. I bought myself a new pump. And like a little boy, pumped up the tires and took a ride along, you know, the Embarcadero. And I went to Fisherman's Wharf. And I noticed something peculiar. And that is that 3 out of 4 people weigh over 300 pounds. The women over 300 pounds, the men over 300 pounds, their children, 16, you can hardly see their eyes because the eyes are covered over by huge rolls of fat underneath their eyes and coming down from their forehead. Where do these obese people come from? How do they do this to themselves? They look like the Pillsbury Doughboy family. Everybody down there was a blimp. Well, what is this from? You don't see humans like this on the coastal cities. By and large, The people in the coastal cities, maybe they're liberal, okay, but they take care of their bodies. Maybe there's something to be said for being a bit on the body-oriented side. I've never seen anything like it from the heartland. So I'm walking around the wharf after lunch, and I went over to one of my favorite exhibits, the submarine Pampanito. It's an old World War II submarine, and it's a National Historic Monument, which is what it should be. But, you know, I looked at it, and I saw something new after years of coming by there once in a while. They said that it was built in 120 days, 4 months. I scratched my head, and I said, America could produce a submarine in 4 months during World War II? I said, that is less time than my neighbor's deck has been under construction. I've got a neighbor from you-know-where who has renovated a house for years. And just when I moved back into my house, the renovation started 3 months later on the deck. You know, 6 a.m, the illegal aliens arrive with music from Guadalajara playing on the deck. It's a nightmare. Why are contractors allowed to destroy people's lives with this kind of any time they want to do something and you can drop dead? Can anyone explain that to me? I mean, can anyone explain to me why any civilized society wouldn't prohibit construction on weekends and not let it start before 9 a.m. and it has to end at 5? Who in the world wants to live like this? You know, it's an argument for a depression. Because if we had a Great Depression, I think this obscenity called home redoing would come to an end. People would be happy living where they live. I never saw anything like this. Anyway, it's just my own view of things. If you'd like to talk about the fact that three internet providers have agreed to block child porn as a result of Attorney General Andrew Cuomo's efforts, and you have to thank him for this. I know many of you don't like the name Cuomo because you say liberal, but so what? If a liberal does the right thing, what's the difference what their politics are? Why won't the Republicans do it? Answer. Because there is a huge difference between Republicans and conservatives. And here is where the show begins. I am now going to define for you the difference between Republicans and conservatives. You see, right now there are voices on the radio who call themselves conservatives who are propagandizing the airwaves. That's all they're doing is they're propagandists. You can hear, for example, the golfer defending high gas prices as a necessary part of the free market. You can hear the golfer bellowing that there shouldn't be an FDA to protect us from salmonella. You can hear the golfer pontificate that illegal aliens are just doing the jobs Americans won't do. You can hear the golfer flying around in his Gulfstream attacking the minimum wage as being anti-job. Now, this is pure rubbish. People like him are globalist liberals masquerading as free marketeers. They themselves are free marketeers, by the way. And many people who listen to these people have drunk the golfer's Kool-Aid. More importantly, while they may be Republicans, they are most definitely not conservatives. And I've said this to you time and time again on the radio show you're listening to. Michael Savage is a conservative, not a Republican. There's a huge difference between the two. For example, Republicans offer AIDS money to Africa. Look what Bush has been doing, pumping billions and billions of tax dollars to a foreign nation to treat AIDS when most of the money is being stolen and not used for AIDS, by the way. Well, conservatives offer aid to working Americans, not aid for Africa. Republicans are for letting the free market decide that $5 a gallon gas is okay, while conservatives are for compelling foreign oil producers to increase production and reduce prices using force if necessary. That's what our military is for, to protect the national interest. That's what it's for. We're not using it, are we? That's because we are run by Republicans, not conservatives. Republicans are for bailing out billionaire money manipulators on Wall Street while you wait online at the hospital behind an illegal alien in the emergency room. Conservatives are for letting Wall Street hucksters pay for their own mistakes and sending the illegals back to Mexico. Republicans are for letting market forces decide if your food has fecal matter in it, while conservatives are for enforcing basic food safety standards so that Mexican farm workers can't crap in the fields and make you sick. Republicans think bringing in illegal aliens is amnesty. Conservatives think bringing in illegal aliens is a travesty. Republicans want a strong global economy. Conservatives want a strong country. Republicans think that child porn on the internet is freedom from government. Conservatives know that smut is a poison that must be snuffed out. America thought Bush was a conservative. He turned out to be just a Republican. And while there are Republicans who are conservatives as well, please don't let the R after the name fool you. Let the voter and the listener beware. I'm Michael Savage. I approve of this monologue. Play Roll Out the Barrel, please, as we roll into the second gear on the Savage Nation. Now play John McCain on beer.
If that authority is entrusted to me, I will use the veto as needed. I will veto every single bill with earmarks.
Oh, God. Well, as I said, at least he isn't going to veto my beard. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation. We're talking about how it took 4 months to build a submarine in World War II, and my neighbor's deck has taken several years, along with the other construction that people go on and go on with here in this country. I've never seen anything like it. There are some people, I believe, who are perennial redoers. They have a psychological need to continuously redo their house. They're afraid that once it's finished, I don't know, their world comes to an end. I don't know what it is, but they make their neighbor's life a living hell. And there's virtually nothing you can do about it because the contractors own the community planners and the community zoning agents. They're all, you know, in cahoots with each other. The upscale communities do not permit construction, for example, Saturday, Sunday, and after a certain hour. In fact, the more the noise in a community, the lower the class the community. You know, you follow what I'm saying? The lower class communities permits contractors to work anytime they want. Now, I know many of you fools will say, well, we don't need government, but government is supposed to make your life better, not worse. A wise government would step in and say a person's entitled to go to work and eat breakfast without a sword cutting away at their brain. And a person's entitled after working to come home and have dinner without a moron banging a hammer next door. That's what government is for, is to enforce laws where people are uncivilized. Of course you need government. And when I heard the golfer in the car this morning defending the oil companies and defending the price of gasoline, and then even worse, saying that the minimum wage increase to, what, $7 an hour is why we have unemployment? I mean, a pig flying around in a Gulfstream has the nerve to say that people shouldn't make $7 an hour? That we need the free market? How can you idiots believe any of this? How do you accept this without going mad listening to these fraudulent Republican phonies? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I really don't understand how your people could be so brainwashed. You see, I worked minimum wage jobs in my life. I've done scullion work. I've done lifeguard work. I've done factory work. I've done it all. You ever try to make a living at $5 an hour? You have people running around saying that $7 an hour is why we have unemployment? Because the people who own the agribusiness don't want to pay a minimum wage that's a livable wage. Because the people in the restaurant business want slaves working in their kitchen. And downstairs, they want them to be slaves and work three jobs for 24 hours a day. That's a society you want to live in? I don't want to live in that society. Okay, so don't give me this garbage that we don't need a minimum wage. How do you people take the Kool-Aid like that? San Diego, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation.
You're at Fisherman's Wharf, and you say 3 out of 4 people are obese. Are you sure you're wearing around like the fried fish stand, or are you exaggerating?
Well, all right. Well, I'm making a point. There were an awful lot of blimpy people walking around. They were waddling around, looking at the seals bellowing on the pier. But whole families of people who are overly—I don't mean just heavy. I'm talking about blimps. Don't you think that there should be some kind of limitation on how fat a person can become until their health care is cut off?
I hear you. I mean, I'm a Navy chief.
Listen to what I'm saying, Brian. I'm no slim weight. I'm not a slim, male model. But I know that if I let myself go and became a fatty, I'd get diabetes. I'd get a heart attack for sure. I'd have a heart attack. And the cost of health care would be picked up by the general insurer and the other people in the health plans. Shouldn't people be required to take care of themselves? And if they don't, shouldn't there be a penalty?
Certainly they should, because how are you going to, you know, help yourself? If there's what if there's an earthquake? What are you going to do? Are you going to just roll?
I don't know. Let's play Chubby Checker. This goes out to all the fatties listening. It's Chubby Checker.
Come on, let's twist again. Like we did last summer. Yeah,
let's keep walking around. Yeah, that's so beautiful. You could faint from beautiful. I like more than beautiful in weather. I can't wait till the fog comes back in. I still get it mixed up. When we have no fog, it's because there's a low pressure system or a high pressure system. I think it's because there's a low pressure system. Yeah, that's what happens. We have low pressure in the atmosphere, and the hot air comes shooting up to the north from the Arizona desert. That's right. That's what happens. It sucks the heat. The heat, you could die from it. The animals don't even want to move. You know, for months now, I've been complaining about talking about these idiots running for office. I can't take it. That these paltry individuals, none of whom are qualified to be president. I mean, let's face it, you may have made up your mind already, but none of them are really qualified to be the president of the United States, when you think about it, for various reasons, of the two that are left. An article came out showing that ratings have changed on cable television because they've been obsessed more than anybody with, and now we go to the primary still where Hillary has just put on mascara, and now Hillary is crying. And they go to one mouthpiece after another talking about Hillary crying and Obama this and McCain that, and I can't take it, so I was not covering it. Well, it turns out I was right. It's very interesting. Because looking at CNN versus Fox versus more snotty nonsense by communists, it's interesting that CNN actually beat Fox in the 5 o'clock East Coast time slot for the first time. And even more snotty nonsense by commies beat Fox at 5 o'clock, which is interesting to me. And it's because that hour was filled with election rubbish that nobody wanted to listen to. Nobody wanted to listen to this. It's unbelievable to me that I was 100% right again, that when a rotten network like More Snotty Nonsense by Communists would beat Fox News. What happened? I ran out of time? Okay.
Savage.
You didn't forget my Republicans versus conservatives monologue. In fact, Beowulf, can you please send it over to the web manager, Art, and let's put it up on the website, because people have to understand the difference between conservatives and Republicans. There's been so much blending of there's so much confusion right now that it's important that you understand that I never want to be called a Republican. I don't want to be embarrassed if anyone confuses me with Republicanism. Republicanism is a party. It's a party. And a party, as you well know, is not necessarily a nation. It's in the interests of a guild. Each party is a guild, the Democrat guild, the Republican guild. And their interests may not coincide with the interests of the nation, nor with the interests of the people. And when you hear a man on radio who has been a front man for the Bush administration for so many years saying that the minimum wage is responsible for the unemployment, and that the oil companies are not greedy, it's astounding how anyone would listen to this without saying enough is enough. I mean, I'm not going to sit and listen to this rubbish. You're telling me we don't need a minimum wage, let the free market determine it? Okay, let's use your idiocy and take it for what it is. Do you realize that before there were minimum wage laws, there was child labor, where children worked for next to nothing in factories? And it was only because the government intervened with a minimum wage and outlawed child labor that there are no children working in factories? Otherwise, you would see children imported from China or imported from another nation with a developing population, for example. They'd work for, 10 cents an hour. Is that what you want in America? 24-hour labor again for nothing? I don't want that. I don't want to live in that country. Now, if you do, then you're a Republican, not a conservative. That's all there is to it. New York, Ralph, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Mike, Michael, the moment McCain is sworn into office, the whole process of this election, oversaturation of talking about who's going to be the next president will begin. something has to be changed with the way we go about our in this election process, where we're constantly hearing nonstop during the course of the next 4 years it will happen.
Ralph, do you know why it's constant? Why the networks are doing it? I've explained it over and over again on the show, but people haven't really heard me. The reason we have had the longest election cycle in history is because the process itself is totally corrupt. The process has been corrupted where you have candidates who are so similar to each other that the people don't really care. So the government media complex has to gin up a huge differential to make people think there's life and death at stake here. When the fact of the matter is, it's an oligarchy running America. It's run by Goldman Sachs, the Bilderberg Conference people, with an overlap into a few other manipulators and puppeteers. That's it. The rest of them are front men and front women.
And also, Michael, we waste time with candidates that have no chance in hell of getting elected.
Do you remember Fred Thompson, for example, the guy I said, the glue horse, how the Republicans held him up like a real viable candidate?
I remember.
It's unbelievable to me how the people put up with this. But the answer is, the reality is, what choice do we have? We don't own the system. We just watch it go by. Thank you for the call. Amarillo, Texas. Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, the minimum wage is a joke because when it was originally created at 30 cents an hour, it was meant for the minimum a man would need to make to have a family and a house. And when you add inflation from when it was started to today, you're looking more at $17 an hour. This $7 an hour garbage, no one can earn anything off of that. You can't.
Wait a minute, but listen to me. You and I sort of agree. But what do you think about a man who makes allegedly $10, $20 million a year, who says the minimum wage should be eliminated because it's too much? That $7 an hour is too much. Do you think that's a conservative viewpoint?
No, it's an arrogant viewpoint of the same as the robber barons that were making $20 million.
Okay, well, there you go. That's all I'm saying. Of course $7 an hour is not too much.
$7 an hour is a joke. You can work two jobs at $7 an hour in Michigan.
Right. That's correct. Let's say a man or a woman makes $7 an hour, minimum wage. Let's make it 10 to make it easier. So 10 bucks an hour times 40 is 400 a week is 20,000 a year. Now, who can live on $20,000 a year? You might be able to live on $20,000 a year somewhere in a minimal way, but you'd probably need at least $35,000 a year to have a family, wouldn't you think?
Well, of course. I mean,
even in the poorest of neighborhoods, you couldn't make it on $35,000 a year. So that would mean a man or a woman would have to work two minimum wage jobs, 16 hours a day, in order to bring up a family in the most minimal of ways.
Here to support.
And yet you hear these Republican front men saying that the minimum wage is an affront to the free market, which is the opposite of truth. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for the call. Sue in Connecticut, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, this is a really soft call, but I just wanted to say I just started to listen to you a couple months, and you are very intelligent, and I enjoy your show, and you make me laugh so hard. I really enjoy it.
That's good. Sometimes I can be humorous. Sometimes I can't. You understand humans can't generate it unless they're a phony humorist like Letterman or Leno. Those are what you call phony humorists. And the reason I call them phony humorists is because when they're the fat guys with big glasses who are ugly wrote their lines, went on strike, they were not on the air, remember?
Uh-huh.
They weren't on the air. They couldn't go on the show. Suddenly Bucktooth couldn't do a show. Suddenly the car collector was mum. He went home and grew his beard. See, I don't like ersatz anything. I don't like ersatz food. I don't like ersatz humor. But you got to understand, I mean, you know, humor is a hard thing to generate if you're not in a funny mood, Sue. So I hope you'll stick around for the up and down, you know. What do you want to talk about? New Jersey, Mark, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I am an electrician. All of my friends are plumbers, carpenters. They're all in the construction industry. And when these pigs, Republicans and Democrats both, say the illegals are doing jobs that Americans don't want to do, I have a question. When the hell did I decide that I no longer wanted to be an electrician? When the hell did my friends decide that they no longer wanted to be plumbers and carpenters? When did this happen? Tell me.
It happened when the pigs wanted to cut out legitimate workers like yourself and undercut your wages. That's what happened. It happened when the pigs bought off the congressmen, both Democrats and Republicans, who voted in the wholesale importation of a cheap labor force in order to drive men like you out of the trades.
And one more thing, these contractors that say, well, we use illegals to keep prices down. I live in Bergen County, New Jersey.
They don't. They take the extra profit that they're making off those illegals. Instead of giving it to a guy like you, they're putting it in their own pocket. That's all it is.
You cannot buy a house where I live for less than, in New Jersey, a brand new house for less than $1,100,000. They could build those houses using American union workers and still make a damn good profit. But they
That's right. But Mark, greed is dictating so much of the public policy today, not only on Wall Street, but on Main Street. And greed is what's destroying the labor force in America. Not only have we exported factories to China, we've also destroyed laborers like yourself, skilled laborers like yourself. Let me give you an example of the danger of this. A couple of years back, I had an air conditioning system put into my house by a legitimate air conditioning firm, but I didn't know who he was using for labor. Well, today I had an American air conditioning man go in, a guy I know, to look at adding something for me. He said, do you know that your panel is burned out from what this guy put in? You could have burnt your house down. That's what we're talking about here, Mark. I had no idea he used the substandard electrician. I thought he used the union electrician. I had no way of checking.
But that's what they're using. They're using nothing but illegals.
Right. He got some guy who learned it in a trade school in Guadalajara, if that, or picked it up along the way. He didn't tell me that. He used somebody, some illegal alien, probably relative, and passed on the money he saved into his own pocket. I didn't ask him to use a cheap electrician when he put the air conditioning in. So this is what we're talking about. Thanks. See, I'm a lucky guy because I come from a blue-collar background. Otherwise, I don't know what I'd be. It's very good to have your feet on the ground and know what reality is. And I don't know how a person who grew up in living off the fat of the land where everything is handed to them can know really what's going on down on the street level. I guess that's what I'm very lucky in a way that my father was so mean to me. To me, mean. I didn't want to do what he made me do. To me, it seemed mean. But he was right in a way. We fought like crazy. But I'll never forget to this day the day he dragged me out of that house and said, that's it. I'm never the fight. It's going to be in my book, by the way, my autobiography. The reason I'm living through all of this again is because I'm reviewing all the stories over the years that I've told, and I had them printed up, and I'm editing them. And I found the one where I was a kid sitting at home every night. I was talking about watching Walter Cronkite on the news at night. And I'm eating a steak, I'm eating French fries, and I'm eating cherry vanilla ice cream every night like a fat little porker. And my father comes in 6 o'clock gray from the day's struggle over the Queensboro, over the bridge and the tunnel. And God knows if business was no good, he's white from the day and from the commute. And here's his fat number one son sitting there with being, you know, fed like King Farouk, the steak, the fries, the cherry vanilla ice cream. In other words, a heart attack diet. And he turns gray as a ghost seeing that I'm – so he says to my mother one day, I must have been 12, that's it. You're ruining the kid. This is over. He's coming into the market with me every Saturday from now on. No, I don't care what you want. You're coming in. So I went from this spoiled little world down into a Dickensian basement in his store where I had to work like a Bowery bum cleaning the bronze statues with the cyanide solution. I've told the story before. I don't want to tell it again. It'll be in my autobiography. But the point I'm making is I resented it. But in a way, I mean, I learned an awful lot about hard labor, horrible labor, disgusting work, and I was able to do it. And to this day, I got to tell you something. Once you're trained to work, once you're committed to being a worker, you can't stop. There's no retirement. Because once you – what do I mean retirement? I don't even know what the word means. I'm an inner-city kid. I'm not proud of it. I'm not unproud of it. I never really learned to play tennis. I never learned to play golf. I know friends who grew up in the same milieu I did who early on took up tennis and golf, and I, you know, that's what they want, fine. I never found it interesting. I found the games too slow. I would. It's like watching paint dry to me to play tennis or golf. And I know it requires skill. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just blowing it off. It takes tremendous skill, but boring? I can't believe it. I'd rather roll on the rug and play with my dog and stick my fingers in his mouth and pull on his canine teeth than play golf. But if you like it, God bless you. And it's a tough game to do right. The point is a little different. When I went to college, skiing just became big in America. I remember, and some of the guys I grew up with took up skiing and they went to Mount Snow in Vermont. I got the ski pants, but I never took up skiing. I liked the outfit. I thought that they would attract girls, so I got ski pants. And they worked. I got to tell you the truth. In those days, it was before I could afford to eat a lot, so consequently, the ski pants had their benefits. But I never took up skiing. I learned how to use a sled. And it was fun to go down hills in the Bronx on a sled. I almost got killed under a truck. To this day, I can remember the truck. Remember the days? Could you imagine I grew up in a time when trucks had chain drives on them? Monster trucks that had chain drives going around the wheels. So a kid's uncle, but with three of us on a sled, the uncle must have been 20. To me, he was an old man. All three of us bellied up on a sled, American Flyer, I think, whatever. Who knows what it was. And was shooting down a hill, and he lost control of the sled. I swear to God, it went under the truck as it was moving. I thought we were going to be crushed and shot out on the other side of the truck. It shows you what kids go through. They can die by accident for no reason whatsoever. But I've worked. I've worked minimum wage jobs. I worked in an ice cream factory. Horrible, disgusting summer job. Putting ice cream bars inside a... I'm on a line in a factory. You ever work in a factory? Well, don't talk about the minimum wage unless you have. You try putting 24 bars of frozen ice cream inside a box as it comes by you in about X number of seconds. And if you miss that box, the foreman, who was a little Italian guy up on a platform, was like out of slavery times. He screamed at everybody all day long. It reminded him of me today. He stood up there on the top, and he's watching the line go around. There must have been 200 people. Most of them were young Puerto Rican women and men, if I remember the factory correctly. And I had a summer job. I was glad to get it. My friend's father owned the ice cream factory. Didn't do me any good. They put me on the production line. So you had to fill the box. The boxes are coming around. I don't know how many seconds. You had to stuff them in 5 seconds, let's say. If you missed your 24 bars in that box, he stopped the line, he hit a button, the overseer, and he yelled out, "You moron idiot, you. Look what you made me do, you stupid moron." Oh, those were the days. I had a teacher, for example. I can't mention his name. He had two fingers on the right hand. How do you have two fingers? It was alleged he was in the IRA and he blew a hand off putting in a bomb somewhere. Now, he happened to be a wonderful math teacher. I don't know whether it was a bomb or whatever. Or he was born that way. But this guy, Mr. W, was a tough guy of the old school type. And when the tests would come back, you sat there in fear. You shook. You sweat because you knew what was coming. He would read out your name and your grade. And believe me, if you were a dummy and you got a low grade, he'd make you come up to the blackboard for everyone to look at you like you were the big dummy you were. And you dreaded it. That's what made you study. You didn't want to be humiliated in front of the kids. Now, today, the opposite is true. Today they take the moron and put the moron in front of the class and tell you that the moron is smarter than you are. And the smart kid has to hide his smartness because you're living in a communistic America. This is a communist system we haven't developed in this stupid country of ours. Don't play tag. You're liable to make children feel inferior. Don't do this. Don't do that. And that's why we're a nation of losers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Of all the stories I threw out, internet providers to block child porn sites is Obama black or biracial and the minimum wage. The one that attracted your attention, as I suspected would do so, is the minimum wage story, because many of you have been drinking the Kool-Aid put out by the golfer into believing that we don't need any minimum wage. And if there was no minimum wage, the free market, so to speak, would dictate a proper wage. So I'll argue that with you if you'd like. And let's just go to the callers. Michael in Salt Lake City, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Mike. You said you were a true conservative. I'm a true conservative. What do you think minimum wage should be?
Well, what would the minimum wage be if there was no minimum wage? What do you think it would become?
I think minimum wage should be zero. The government does not have the right to interfere between what an employer and an employee agree upon, whatever they agree upon.
That all sounds well and good on a piece of paper, but when we're living with a flood of illegal immigrants who will work for next to nothing, those rules were thrown out the window by George Bush. Don't you understand that that would work if you had a labor force that was on an equal playing field with the illegal alien? But the illegal alien has virtually nothing at stake in this country. And so they'd be willing to work maybe for $5 an hour. Don't you see how that would undermine the American worker?
Well, absolutely I do. And I think that you punish the employers for hiring somebody that's illegal.
So in other words, the answer to the problem, if you eliminated the minimum wage, is to punish employers who might be hiring illegal aliens. Is that what you're saying?
I absolutely think that you absolutely.
So then you do believe there should be a government that intervenes at some level. You're not saying there should be no government.
Oh, with no government, you have anarchy.
Well, at least we agree there needs to be some governmental action somewhere. I mean, because some people will call me now and say there should be no government at all. Well, at least let's say we agree on 50% of this discussion. But I thank you for at least calling with your opinion. South Carolina, Judd, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I think the entire point is being missed here. I think what was happening is that it's not so much anything to do with the employee or how much money the employee is making. It's that the employer doesn't want to pay the hiked up $7 an hour because they can't afford it. They're going to make their...
Well, I've heard that argument before as I see the employer drive home in his new Mercedes. I don't believe a word of it. It's greed. It's pure unadulterated greed. In my day, the employer took home a little less and the worker made a little bit more. Come on. We live in an age of piggery.
At all. I just think that the point that was being made was that it was the employer.
The guy who owns the restaurant likes driving the Mercedes and he likes seeing slave labor in the kitchen that has no benefits whatsoever, who he can yell at and scream and scare him to death.
Yeah, and the economy. The economy's got a lot to do with it. People aren't paying as much.
Well,
aren't making
I
as
don't
much.
Know. I just know that people need some kind of controls over themselves or they'll act like monsters.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Honored to be in the company of so many men and women who represent the best of American enterprise. You know, I've never run a small, struggling enterprise, unless you count my presidential campaign last year.
Okay, now play the beer part of it, and we'll move on. And play McCain on that he will veto every beer. If McCain vetoes every beer, his candidacy is finished. That's all I can say. Did you hear he slipped? All right, what are you going to do? I'm definitely opposed to the communist, so I guess we're stuck with globalist. You have a choice between the Marxist or the globalist. That's all. And we're talking about various topics here on the Savage Nation. Which ones? Internet providers? Nah, no one called about that. Three internet providers agree to block child porn. That's nothing. It's interesting that it came a day after I railed against pornography that Verizon, Sprint, and Time Warner have agreed to block access to child pornography and eliminate the material from their servers. You mean it took this long for the geniuses and the nice men who run and women who run these companies, these conglomerates, to say that child porn is bad? I wonder why it took them so long. I guess they wanted to squeeze another few dollars out of the bottom line for this filth. And this is an example of what I've been telling you about. People are not fundamentally good. People are fundamentally evil. It's been my experience that people are not fundamentally good. People are fundamentally bad. And that unless they're constrained and controlled, they will do very bad things. I guess that's the difference between me and some of you. You have such faith in humanity that you think that Verizon, Sprint, and Time Warner are run by good people necessarily, who will say, you know, Mary, that pornography in the hotel that we're running is really harmful to families. And I realize it makes $500 million a year for the company, but I think that I'll sacrifice my job and cut profits this year by cutting out a stream of porno into the hotel rooms. No, people are fundamentally greedy and pigs. And unless they're constrained and controlled, we have the jungle. As it is, we have the jungle, but at least it's a slightly controlled jungle. So, you know, you have to look at what I'm saying to you in context of human nature, not in context of a textbook that you read about the free market. The free market doesn't exist anymore. The free market may have existed when Adam Smith wrote the book. When Adam Smith wrote the book on economics that many of you are quoting, America was a small nation with no foreign labor and nothing manufactured abroad. It was all made here. So those rules applied then. The rules don't apply anymore. When you could have workers work for next to nothing because they're poor men and women who have no recourse and they're starving to death if they don't work, and if you say, I'll give you $4 an hour or else I'll report you to the INS, whatever they call it today, ICE, the guy will say, okay, I'll take it because he's a poor man. So he's living in a room with 16 other people, and he'll take the $5 an hour if he can get it. That's not a decent country. That's not how it should operate. You understand that? And that's why we're talking about it. But I want to move on already. I made my point. I don't want to beat it up. We're not going to talk about Obama and McCain. I'll leave that to the know-nothings on cable. They're out of business. They have nothing to talk about. It's over. How many times can they talk about Hillary and Obama and McCain? Now they have to actually do something, and they're stuck. They're stuck. What are they going to do? They're going to tell family stories? I hope they would. Then I could leave this job. Too fat for Paris. Now the male models are losing weight to achieve the new boy body ideal. The boy body ideal now is skinny, pale, and feminine in Paris. Slight men. David Sciola was too big for Paris, weighing just 76 kilograms with a 32-inch waist. The 188-centimeter-tall model tipped the scales in the French fashion capital. Working abroad last year, he lost 6 kilograms to strut the catwalks in Milan, but even that was not skinny enough for the Parisian scene, where lean is the new mean. In other words, the child gay look is the norm in the male modeling world. Unless you look like a child gay, you can't work for Armani. Unless you look like a child homosexual, you can't model undershorts for any of the psychopaths in the fashion industry. Now, we've talked about skeletal female models, the junkie look, but you don't know that the male counterparts have also been quietly wasting away owing to the homosexualization of the media. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about this and that. And we'll continue to talk about this and that. It's a nice day. It's a beautiful world. And life goes on. We're sitting here waiting for the fat boy to go off in a city. Sometimes I feel like I'm in suspended animation. We know the Islamo-fascists are here. For years, the government scared us to death that they're here. They're everywhere. They're plotting. They have mustaches. They're sweating to make a dirty bomb any second that's going to go off. Then we wake up and the red light, the green light, and the yellow light went away. And we woke up to a globalist president who tells us that there's nothing to fear there's nothing to fear except the minimum wage itself. And suddenly there's no war on terror anymore. It's over. Did the war on terror end around the same time the war on drugs ended? When did the war on terror end? I thought we were still fighting it. The poor guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan weren't told yet that the war is over? Then bring them all home. If there's no threat here from an Islamo or whatever putting together a bomb, then why don't you bring the guys home from Iraq and let them all cut each other's throat? Let the Sunnis cut the Shia and the Shia cut the Sunnis and they can all go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. What the heck are we sacrificing our blood for over there? You know that they're just a bunch of backstabbers. Did they ever say thank you? Did they ever give us any oil for the $1 trillion we put into that country, that hellhole? They should be paying us in oil. Instead of us paying $5 a gallon, you'd be paying $2.50 a gallon if we had a legitimate government that wasn't owned by the oil industry. They would demand the oil out of Iraq. What are they going to stop them? Tell me what would happen if our government said we put in $500 billion to liberate you guys, and we're going to take it back in oil. What's fair is fair. What are they going to do, fight us? It's our military running the show over there. So you pump and you put it in tankers and send it over here, and you cut the price of gas in half. How come you haven't heard that idea from anybody? Answer, because the Seven Sister Oil Companies don't want the price to go lower. That's all. That's one man's opinion. I could be 100% right, and it wouldn't matter. I've been 100% right about a lot of things, and it doesn't matter. In fact, things have gotten worse. That's correct. Think about it. Think about it. Things have gotten worse, not better. You know and I know that even if McCain wins, he's going to legalize 30 million illegal aliens and give you the Blarney job. The next second, he'll give you the Blarney job, and you're supposed to say, all hail McCain. He's a good, fair man. What are you talking about? He's Bush 3, and you know it. So the alternative is what? Karl Marx 2? Lenin 2? Trotsky 3? I don't want Trotsky 3, Lenin 2, Marx 2. And I don't want Bush 3. I'd like America 101. I can't seem to find it up there. Play Roll Out the Barrel. What am I getting excited about? Nothing's going to change. Roll out the barrel. Needle marks in the arm now from the doctor. I hate that. I feel like a junkie. I take the blood out of your arm. On your own. I always worry about those needles and they're reusing them. I turn it off. No, I do. Every time I go into a lab, I'm the kind of guy who, like, jokes with the technician. You know, no one does that. Like, my mother used to do it, God bless her. She joked with, like, the nurse and the doctor. I never knew why. It was like, she would tell a little joke. It was her way of getting rid of her anxiety. Well, I don't know these people. A minimum wage nurse in there. It looks like she just got off the night flight from God knows Whereville, is hitting my arm already with the finger, tapping and pulling out a needle. Where'd the needle come from? How do I know she didn't reuse it from some junkie clinic? I don't know anymore. I say to them, you wouldn't be giving me a needle from a drug addict, would you? I actually say that as a joke to see what the reaction is. Sometimes they don't even answer properly. I feel like ripping the thing off and running out of the clinic. You don't know how crazy they may be, or you don't know if the doctor who runs it is a greedy SOB who should be executed, who wants to tell him to wash the needle in the toilet bowl and reuse it a few times a day. Why, that wouldn't happen? If yesterday I reported on the show the three so-called psychiatrists at Harvard were found to have been receiving money from the manufacturers of Prozac and peddling Prozac for your child, telling you, oh, yeah, perfectly safe, your child's showing signs of manic depression and we got to put him on Prozac. The doctor should be taken out and hung, not just fined and fired, hung in a public square. The government should find them guilty and hang them from a lamppost in Harvard Square, as far as I'm concerned. Anybody who takes a profession like that and abuses it and then uses children like guinea pigs, they should hang psychiatrists like that. In Harvard Square, there should be a requirement that they're hung when they're found double-dipping. But then again, this is only a talk show. See, the beauty here is I have no power whatsoever. And you should thank God I have no power. You should thank God that I don't run anything. Because I can guarantee you that there'd be lampposts with ropes over them if I caught doctors doing that. I would have a militia in Massachusetts search out the doctor who's been getting paid off like that from a drug company and destroying our beautiful children, our children, being used like guinea pigs by these bums. Pushing Prozac into children as young as 2 years old. And I read the papers by these doctors. I've read their double talk. Oh, yes, the child's showing signs of this, and then I put him on Prozac. I'd like to put you into a vat of Prozac. The last thing you should – don't get me started here. I get very emotional about what doctors do to children for reasons that those of you who follow the show for years understand. But that's not the biggest problem in our country. Everything's the biggest problem in our country today because we have a government anarchy. Fundamentally, you see, many of you don't understand the difference between a reasonable government and government anarchy. There's a big difference between the free market and government anarchy. Right now we have government anarchy. That's what George Bush has wrought, government anarchy. And the opposite is what, Marxism? I don't want the opposite. I'd like something in between. I don't see it. So what would you like to talk about? Minimum wage again, we get stuck on that. It's boring. I made my point. I'd rather talk about power motorboats. I have a question for my listeners. This is something I know nothing about. I have a boat that I understand. It's a twin-engine diesel cruiser, so I understand that type of boat. I don't understand power boats with like a Mercury Cruiser IO drive. Let me ask you a question. Yesterday, I went and took a ride after work in a 20-foot boat with a, you know, brand new, with an IO drive, and it cavitated. In other words, when we drove it at slow speeds now, it was a gorgeous little boat, but it went like to the left, then it went to the right, then it went to, it was like weaving. So I said to the dealer, what is this? It doesn't run in a straight line. And he said, there's that. Now he tells me you can get a counter-rotating propeller for more money in another bigger boat. Is that necessarily true? In a small boat, do they all cavitate like that unless you have counter-rotating props? Can anyone call me and tell me? I don't know this part of the boat world. I really would like to find out more because it's speedboat time in America right now. You know, shooting by, Coppertone, Tan, holding the thing, ski boat, America, 50s, happy, see the USA in a Chevrolet. There is no Islamofascism. There is no war on terror. Everything's coming up roses. We did a great job. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, Republicans, yay. Hey, could you play that see the USA in a Chevrolet for me? Sorry, turn it off. Who's that? Dinosaur Chevrolet. You laugh when you say Chevrolet today. It sounds like an extinct brand. You let the Japanese come in here and break our auto industry. First, the Japanese sold televisions at below cost to destroy our electronics industry. Then the clever little friends from Japan who we saved from themselves, from their own fascism. Before we knew it, they destroyed our automobile industry. Now our dear friends in China are destroying our military. And you say everything is coming up roses? I disagree. I'll be back on Michael Savage. Savage. As soon as we take these few calls, there's a new story just came out about a brown, a cannon that makes people defecate involuntarily that so-called activists are afraid is going to be used against them in Denver. A crowd control weapon known as the crap cannon that might be unleashed against them. Mark Cohen, co-founder of Recreate 68, an alliance of local activists. You know what I think of them, don't you? Working for the protection of First Amendment rights. Hey, Mark, I hope they fire the crap cannon at you so that it won't come out of your mouth anymore. Mark, why don't you go make a living instead of being a little commie like your grandfather in Russia? Sacramento, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I think the boat you were on really wasn't tuned correctly. They should be straight ahead with the thrust of an inboard, outboard, or even a good outboard.
No, he told me that the boat will do that unless you get a counter-rotating propeller. Does anyone know if that's true? Hawaii, Mike, go ahead, please. Your opinion.
Oh, yes. Hi, Michael. Now, normally, when you have twin screws like that, you're going to have one propeller.
No. It's a single-engine boat that cavitated left and right, left and right. It didn't do it drastically, but if you went down a channel, the single IO drive went to the left, and it wove to the right, and it wove to the left.
Well, now, not just two screws on the propeller.
Okay, but I just said it. Oh, two screws on the propeller shaft.
Right.
In other words, counter-rotating propellers would eliminate that, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's what the dealer told me today, so that's what I'm looking into. And I'm learning, because I don't know much about small boats. So I don't need many more boat calls, unless there's something new here. Texas, Billy, you're a boat dealer. Go ahead, please.
Yes.
Billy, so what's the story on that slight weaving down the channel on a single IO drive?
Because that's when you were kind of driving kind of slow going down a channel.
Yes, Billy.
It is because we have sold Merck Cruiser stern drives. And then I don't know if you remember about 15 years ago, OMC came out with a C drive, which was like an outboard motor that was mounted further back. And it, they noticed that you did not have the weaving problem then.
Okay, so it's the C drive. Is not the American election headquarters, it's the Savage Nation. And unless there's some real news about these lackluster candidates, I'm not going to discuss it. Unless there's some big revelation, what's the point of talking about them? We both know what's going to happen, more or less. More or less, we know already they're two peas in a pod here. Goldman Sachs will determine what happens in America, not Obama, not McCain. The Bilderbergs will decide what happens in America, not Obama, not McCain. Yes, there's a slight difference in social issues for sure, and, you know, depends upon how excited you are about things of that nature, and I'm very excited about it. Maybe there's a difference, but I'm not so sure McCain is going to give me what I want anyway. I know as sure as I'm sitting here, he's going to grant amnesty to the illegal aliens because he said he will, which is why he won't go on any conservative talk radio shows, which is the only avenue that could get him elected. Now, what does that tell you about a candidate? That about 4 weeks ago, he said he doesn't need the right wing to get elected. He doesn't need the conservative base to get elected. Well, who does he need? So why should we sit here and salute him? Just because he was a war hero? That means that forever he's going to be a great guy? Well, he might be, but doesn't mean he'll be a good president. I can give you five examples of war heroes who made terrible politicians. I think I did this show once before. And then I can show you examples of men who never fought in war who turned out to be great leaders in war. So you have to understand that things aren't exactly the way you might think they are. Ohio Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I would like to thank you for your description of an independent nationalist. I'm a disgruntled Republican and conservative, and I heard that, and I thought that's it. That is
When we talked about the difference between conservatives and Republicans, and I hope it's going to go up on the website soon, michaelsavage.com, you know, this is an important discussion to have, because right now the Republicans are counting on the conservatives to elect another one of theirs. And I don't think we should just be there for the grabbing.
I don't think so either. I think the Republicans...
In other words, I will definitely not vote for the for Karl Marx too. Obama. I will not vote for him under any condition because I know what his policies are. So let's put that on the table. But I may not vote at all in the election. And that's what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to vote for McCain, not unless he changes radically with regard to illegal aliens and a few other very important issues.
Mr. McCain is a Democrat in Republican clothing. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between...
Look. You know and I know, Bill, the number one issue to conservatives is national security. And the number one element of national security are the borders. And if John McCain will not secure the borders, will not deal with the issue of 30 million illegal aliens who are about to swamp the boat, then what has he got that I need?
Absolutely nothing. That is the prime.
That's the sad, that is the sad, sad truth. I'd love to be able to vote for John. I'd like to be able to get up on this show and say, he's changed on illegal aliens. He's convinced me he means it. I'm going to vote for him. I wish I could say that. The man won't come on this show. He won't come on other conservative talk shows. And that tells you everything you need to know. He's doing exactly what Giuliani did. He's running a losing campaign. And frankly, he's shooting himself in both feet on a daily basis. Thanks for the call. Washington, D.C., Phyllis, welcome. What's on your mind?
I listened to Barack Obama talk about how well off the Europeans are and how we should emulate them. I just got back from Normandy touring the battle sites there, and I am not impressed with Europe. They have tiny roads. They're super highways.
If you like 7,000 to 10,000 automobiles being set ablaze every summer in France and nobody paying for it, then you could say France is a wonderful place. If you like whole cities that police are afraid to go into because the Islamo community will not permit the police to go in there without shooting them, then it's a wonderful place. Europe is a propagandized, I mean, the image of Europe has been propagandized by the American left into making us think that it's a wonderful role model for America, when the exact opposite is true. You ask anybody who lives in Italy what's actually going on. Ask them about the crime, about the kidnapping. Ask them about whole regions of cities that are uninhabitable, and you'll find out what the real Europe is and what the future is going to bring. No, Europe is not my ideal.
I think the people who really are in awe of Europe probably haven't been there. I think it's,
well, I don't know whether they've been there or not. I know that this glorification of Europe is something that you hear more and more from the internationalist, the socialist, and that's why Obama would, of course, glorify Europe. Whether he's been there or not is irrelevant. What's important is, do you want to live in Europe? Then go to Europe. We are not Europe. We never have been Europe. We were a nation that broke away from the strictures of Europe. Why should we now suddenly emulate Europe?
Well, if the Muslims would set us back 1,000 years, Barack Obama would set us back at least 50 to emulate the things.
Well, I don't know how far he'd set us back. I know that he would set us off course even further than we are right now. I don't believe he's the captain of the SS America that we need right now. Right now, we have a ship that's out of control because there is no captain. We have a group of bankers running this country, and none of them are good seamen. And the last thing we need is a junior senator from Illinois to get up there and say, "Now I'm the captain. Let me have the helm." That's not what I'm looking forward to. Waco, Texas. Mike, go ahead, please.
And Michael, the reason I think you should vote for John McCain, and not to get too political, but we cannot afford to have Obama with the ability to elect Supreme Court justices. And in terms of the immigration issue that you had a problem with, I think we can do the same thing we did last time, and that is keep Congress, put enough pressure on Congress to make it so that John McCain cannot get that passed.
We can't do that anymore because Congress is no longer at all Republican. It's a Democrat Congress. What we need is a conservative president to counter the left-leaning Congress. But if you have a left-leaning Congress, which we have, and then you put in a left-leaning president, you know what's going to happen with the amnesty issue. McCain has already said he is not going to do anything about the illegals. He's going to grant them citizenship. He has told us what he's going to do. It's why he won't come near this show.
Like a lot of politicians, he may tell you what he thinks he's going to do, but then most of the time, they can't deliver.
Wait, why in the world would he do the opposite of what he says he's going to do when he needs this audience to win? And he's telling this audience to go to hell.
Because I don't think he can deliver on that promise.
On which promise is that?
To allow illegal immigrants.
Sure he could deliver on it. All of Congress wants to give them presto magico a green card and citizenship. The Democrats want it, and now the Republicans want it. So the only people who don't want it are the people themselves. And who represents us anymore, Mike?
Well, my argument is there was such a bipartisan uproar from the silent majority.
That's correct. That also includes Democrats. Here in the state of California, even Democrats have had enough of the illegal aliens because they see the devastation they have wrought upon the social fabric. And so even Democrats have said we don't want it anymore. But the Democrat Party doesn't represent the people who normally vote for Democrats any more than the Republican Party represents the conservatives who used to vote for Republicans. Nobody has a candidate except the diehards and the apparatchiks in the party.
Let me ask you this then, one final question about that.
But before I finish, Mike, I don't want to sound hopeless here. McCain has plenty of time to come out and say he's thought about it, and whether he likes it or not, he has to represent the will of the people, and the will of the people is such that he wants to crack down on the illegal aliens, as most states are doing, by the way. Police departments across this country are doing the will of the people. The federal government is actually fighting the will of the people. It's the state governments in the form of the local police departments who are finally doing the people's business. The federal government may as well be a foreign government. It may as well be the government of King George of England for what they're doing to us.
Even in his own state and those neighboring states, and here in Texas, we're having to do the federal government's job.
Exactly. What I'm saying to you is that the local sheriffs and police departments are doing what the people want done. They are cracking down on the illegal aliens who are running all over this nation as though they own it. They are abusing this nation. We all know how hard many of them work, but that's only part of the picture. The rest of the picture is the abuse of the school systems, the abuse of the medical systems, the abuse of the legal system. Those are real social costs that we are all paying. The social fabric is being torn. So the police are doing the job, okay. But the federal government is basically saying they don't want the police to do the job. The federal government is saying to the states, don't do the job that we won't do. Well, here's an example of the tension between the states and the federal government. But when a federal government starts to act like a law unto itself and like a country unto itself, and a federal government that's out of step with the people themselves becomes an oppressive government, it may as well be a foreign government. That's the problem we have. And we don't have a leader right now of the people. We have leaders of factions within the two parties, but not a leader of the general population. Do you understand that? I have talked about this over and over and over, and I don't want to do it again. It's summertime. Most normal people have had enough of politics. So let's move on to other topics that have real meaning to us. Talking about the candidates is heart. It's almost heartbreaking because we don't have a candidate of the people. We don't have a candidate of the people, by the people, and for the people. Let's put it to you that way. Put it in Lincoln terms. Can you seriously sit there and tell me that Obama or McCain, either of them, is a candidate of the people, by the people, and for the people? We're talking about the entire nation. I don't mean every single person, but in general. No, you can't say that. Obama represents a certain faction of the people. McCain represents a certain faction of the people, but they by no means represent a majority of the people. Don't you see that? Houston, Texas. Rich, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to talk a little bit about what the politicians aren't telling us about our natural resources here in this country. On the Outer Continental Shelf, off the east and west coast, about 100 miles out, we've got 112 billion barrels of oil and 656 trillion cubic feet of gas.
I'm 100% in favor of drilling offshore. I have been, and I'm a boater, and I'm a conservationist, and I know more about it than Barbara Boxer, the phony, who never sets foot outside of her limo and her Secret Service-protected buildings. Believe me, I understand what you're saying. We also need to immediately build nuclear power plants. We need to immediately drill in Anwar. What is this nonsense? The environmentalists can't have it both ways.
Michael, I worked on the North Slope of Alaska. And this business about the caribou and interfering with their migrations, nonsense. In the summer.
Well, you heard what I, didn't I, did you heard my show where the caribou came to love the oil pipeline because it was warm?
Absolutely. They come up on the gravel roads there that we build to drill wells to get away from the flies. We have to constantly look that with our trucks that we don't run over them. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm glad you called, Rich, because stay on the line. I remember when this argument was going on in America. It was identical to what's going on now about drilling in Anwar. When the suggestion to build the Alaska pipeline was raging in the 70s, the stupid whack job environmentalists were saying, it will destroy the migration patterns of the caribou. It will destroy their reproductive habits, blah, blah, blah. Those schmucks were wrong. The caribou love the hot oil because they go to hide from the cold under it.
Michael, it's absolutely true. In the summertime, they try to come around humans because humans drive off predators. It's the safest place to be for caribou.
If you were a caribou and you've been for millennia, you were freezing your butt off trying to raise a family in the cold snow, and all of a sudden you see a nice hot source, a nice heat source overhead for hundreds and hundreds of miles that also affords you some shelter from the elements and also gives you some protection from predators, wouldn't you suddenly migrate to hang around underneath that hot oil pipeline?
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, offshore platforms, there's fish. I mean, if you want to go fish, that's where you want to fish, offshore.
Rich, listen, this is all common sense from people who are true environmentalists. They understand this, as opposed to the fraudulent people from Brooklyn, New York, like Barbara Boxer, who has never hiked Mount Tamalpais, let alone gone out in a boat and seen the water for herself. She made a big hit with the morons here in Marin County by saying she's an environmentalist. Show me what she's done for the environment other than tie up the environment and prevent us from becoming independent of the Arabs.
They're absolutely perpetuating myths. And, you know, they don't want to elucidate things. They don't want to inform people. They don't, because it's easier for them to spew this BS and people will buy it and they get a vote. That's it.
Yeah. Well, George Bush is no better.
Well, but
you ready for this? Here's an article just came out that'll make your hair stand up. President Bush regrets his legacy as the man who wanted war. Can you believe this? This article has just come out, and it's enough to make you your head spin. Tell that to the boys who are here without eyes and legs and arms, and tell that to the guys who are still over there ducking bullets. He is President Bush now. Quote, I think that in retrospect, I could have used a different tone, a different rhetoric. President Bush has admitted to the Times that his gunslinging rhetoric made the world believe that he was a guy really anxious for war in Iraq. He said that his aim now was to leave his successor a legacy of international diplomacy for tackling Iran. I don't believe this. In an exclusive interview, Bush expressed regret at the bitter divisions over the war and said that he was troubled about how his country had been misunderstood. Phrases such as, quote, bring them on, or dead or alive, he said, indicated to people that I was, you know, not a man of peace. He said that he found it very painful to put youngsters in harm's way. Really, Mr. Bush, is that why you continue to make sure that court martials are landed upon the desks of our youngsters when you could have stopped it, you phony you? Bush went on. He said, I try to meet with as many of the families as I can, and I have an obligation to comfort and console as best as I possibly can. I also have an obligation to make sure that those lives were not lost in vain. Who wrote this rubbish for him? Because it's all lies, total lies. George Bush destroyed the core of the U.S. Marine Corps. He has weakened it, let's put it to you that way. George Bush could have stopped the persecution of our fighting Marines by saying to these vermin lawyers in the military, no, the buck stops here, stop it, stop persecuting our men for doing their job. Bush is a failed president on every level. I'll be back.
Savage.
Right again. See, you may underestimate me and you may want to disagree with me or hate me, but I'm right most of the time. Yesterday I did a show on the tomatoes and I told you the government is hiding the fact that the salmonella outbreak is coming from tomatoes imported from Mexico. Well, listen to this double talk put out by the Associated Pukes. Why did food sellers treat tomatoes like hot potatoes? Well, you read the story and it says that the government today cleared fresh tomatoes grown in Florida and California of any responsibility in the outbreak. Oh, really? The government did that? But they won't tell you where the outbreak is originating from? From people crapping in the fields in Mexico? And the water being polluted? Now, why is it that the so-called government would not tell you to avoid tomatoes grown in Mexico? And why is it that idiots who write for the Associated Press like this, Seth Borenstein and Mike Stobe, are such fools that they would eat the government Kool-Aid and not go a step further and say, wait a minute, if tomatoes grown in Florida and California have been cleared of any responsibility in the outbreak, duh, so which tomatoes coming from where have not been cleared? Mike and Seth, didn't they teach you that in J school to use your brains in between putting condoms on your head to act like you're a human you-know-what? What's wrong with these children? They can't even think and they become journalists. They can't go the next step and figure out that I was right yesterday when I warned you where it's coming from. Now, why is the government media complex, i.e. the government and the Associated Press and the newspapers, why are they all hiding the fact that produce from Mexico is the source of the salmonella outbreak? The answer is because the newspapers are owned by conglomerates which have boards. The men who sit on these boards, the men and women who sit on these boards, also sit on the boards of other corporations, which might include agribusinesses, which might include pharmaceutical companies, which might include cable companies that purvey pornography. Don't you understand the danger of large corporations and interlocking corporate directorships? Don't you understand the dangers of having newspapers owned by the same people? I do. That's why I thrive on the Savage Nation, and I know that's why you listen. How else do you explain it? There's no other explanation for it. It's called common sense and a desire for the truth. That's all there is to it. So there it is. So the tomatoes are safe, as I told you yesterday, from California and Florida. Mexico, well, if you like E. coli and salmonella, you know where it's coming from. We once had the safest food supply in the world. Unfortunately, because of NAFTA, we now are a third world country with regard to food safety.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's a shocking story that came out minutes ago. Stanford University, the law school, is dropping letter grades for law students. Now, you know what this means. This is to make sure that the affirmative action admissions can get through law school. They say, of course, it's to allow professors to be more experimental in the classroom. It's not to allow professors to be more experimental. So they're eliminating letter grades, and that way the dummies who never belonged in law school to begin with, both white and black and whatever they may be, who were put in with affirmative action, can now sit there and shoot their mouths off and make believe they're as good as the brightest kid. Then, of course, when they get out and they don't pass the bar exam, they can claim racism again. And eventually they'll eliminate the bar exam, so we'll have the equivalent of lawyers in communist China where the laundresses ran the surgical wards. This is what's going on now. It's the slow Bolshevikization of the United States of America from the inside out and from the outside in. And here's what the morons who are running it here. Stanford Law School Dean Larry Kramer says he hopes the shift will cut the stressful jockeying for status among classmates. Let me pause for a minute. Jockeying for status? You mean a person who speaks stupidly should be as revered as the person who speaks intelligently, Larry? Is that what you think a law student should be taught? And here's what Larry Kramer, the dean of the law school, says. It reduces the pursuit of grades as the chief concern of students. They're learning for the sake of learning without choosing courses based on worries whether a professor is a tough grader or not, said Larry Kramer. Students were too focused on grades and choosing courses based on grades. So now professors can take a dummy who never belonged in law school and make him the head of the law review, you hear? Now, of course, if they can't write, that won't matter either. I guess the next Larry Kramer will come along and say we are eliminating all grammatical concerns in our law review because that's the mark of a racist society. An intelligent society should have no grammar and no grades. An intelligent advanced society should base itself upon equality. Well, let me tell you something, Larry. It's vermin like you that have destroyed this country for the last 30 years. In my humble opinion, Larry, it's Bolsheviks like you who are destroying what's left of this great country, Larry. And, of course, it's because men like you weasel their way into the law schools that the entire law profession has suffered, Larry. Larry. So there it is. Such reforms are a luxury of top schools, it says, because students can trade on the name of the institution when applying for competitive jobs. Judges in top firms hire eagerly and disproportionately from a few schools, regardless of their grading structures. Uh-huh. But how do they pass the bar, Larry? That's the one little problem? Is that the one little problem you'll be working on with your Bolshevik friends, Larry, to knock out the bar exam? So morons who never belong in law school can go out there and sue, and sue more? You bum, you. This is what goes on. You know, I had a book years ago on this show by a woman law professor who said that the profession of law degenerated because of the admission of women and minorities into the system who were forced in through affirmative action. He said they actually destroyed the legal profession. She said it. She herself said it. It was that when women who were not qualified were pushed in and minorities who were not qualified were pushed into the law schools, she said what they did was they degenerated the entire profession. And that's when the junk lawsuit started to proliferate. Everybody has a law degree. And what do they have to do? They have to make a living. How do they make a living? By coming up with junk lawsuits. For example, on michaelsavage.com, there's a story that you have to see. You must see the story, because I can tell you from a mile away what the story is about. Anybody can tell you what the story is about from a mile away. The story is on the top right, second article. Black former official sues NASCAR over harassment claims. She's suing for $250 million. I can tell you by reading it that most of this is made up. I can tell you I've seen it before. I can tell you that people would not say these things, knowing that they'd get sued if they say it. Nobody would say these things. They understand that they'd get a lawsuit if they say it. So she found a junk lawyer who probably went to a junk law school to come up with a junk lawsuit against NASCAR. And the only thing that can save us from this are juries who stand up to these people. And also we need to modify the law. The law must be modified that anybody who brings a fraudulent claim and is found out to have brought a fraudulent claim goes to prison or pays the fine that would have been imposed upon the people they are suing. I've said this to you for years. These false rape claims, like that Durham dirtbag in Durham, North Carolina, how she ruined the lives of people and ruined the university. The dirtbag is still walking the earth. The Durham dirtbag in Duke, North Carolina should have gone to jail for the 20 years that the white boys would have gone to jail for had the dirtbag been successful in her lies. That would stop the false rape claims. But then again, you ought to thank God I am only a radio talk show host and that I have no power. Because I can guarantee you if I had power, some heads would roll in this country and there'd be rope swinging in Harvard Square. And thank God I have no power because I'm a man of peace. And I really don't want any ropes swinging in Harvard Square. We got plenty of dopes swinging in Harvard Square. We don't need any ropes swinging over there. Coming up next, a great interview. You're not going to want to miss it right here on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
M. Zudi Jasser is a former U.S. Navy lieutenant commander, and I've had him on the show before. He teaches nuclear cardiology in a major Phoenix hospital. He also happens to be a strong proponent of conservative Muslims speaking out against radical Islam, and he joins us today to tell us about a recent debate he had. Dr. Jasser, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
So what happened?
It's interesting. I had gone to participate in a panel with the Florida Security Council in February earlier this year, and after the panel on counterterrorism and national security issues, there was an imam in the audience from the Islamic Center for Peace, as it's called, in Fort Myers, and he basically challenged me, some of the issues that I had brought up, and said that I was being too critical of Islam and that the audience was being deceived. And I said, well, as I had said in the panel, I've been wanting to debate these issues with an imam, and we had done so here locally in Phoenix on the issue of terrorism repeatedly, but never been able to get them to actually commit to an open debate. And he invited me to a dialogue, and I said, well, this has to be a debate. And with the tenacity of the Florida Security Council, we ended up scheduling an official Lincoln-Douglas-type debate that occurred on April 5th, and we basically argued the question of whether the concept of political Islam, the desire to set up Islamic states, is a threat to the security of the United States. And it was interesting. We spent, it was moderated by Mike Cromarty from the Center for Ethics and Public Policy, and we went through a number of areas of terrorism and counterterrorism and the role of the Muslim community, and it was just amazing his responses and how illustrative they were to the moral duplicity of many of these so-called religious spiritual leaders in the Islamic community.
Give us some examples of his answers, would you please?
Yeah, it was interesting. During his opening remarks, he said that, well, they have condemned terrorism, and he did the same thing that we hear, for example, from CARE and other organizations where they say, we condemn all acts of terror. But it's interesting, he'll say, well, I condemn terrorism, and then he goes on to accept in the occupied territories, and he'll even condemn Hamas or Hezbollah and say, but wait a minute, these are also, you have to know, they're like Patrick Henry and George Washington. That they even say, he even quoted Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death. So it's amazing to me how they'll make the condemnation and then end the sentence with a but and give it an explanation of the acts that are done as if somehow there's some moral legitimacy to that. And I pressed him on the cross-examination portion and say, are you unable to condemn it without giving it excuses? And he says, well, in the occupied territories, these people have nothing else to fight for with but their bodies. And then in any way seem to give it some type of justification. And then when I press him on the fact that he can't condemn it clearly, he'll say, well, look, I've condemned it. And it was just an amazing obfuscation. And it's just, I think, was very educational to the audience to see a Muslim push him, and that the fact that this isn't about Islam. This is about a political agenda that wants to constantly say that at some point there is nothing that's not possible for them to do in order to achieve a political end, and that they will say, well, it's wrong, but we have to do it. And I say, well, then do you justify stealing? Do you justify all crimes based on the ends? And basically he wasn't able to answer that.
Well, did the audience come away with the lesson you wanted them to learn?
I think they did. I think what's interesting and that I think that was very important is that they realized that the spiritual message, the morality, the ethics and the value, whether it's from Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, of the Abrahamic faiths, that I as a Muslim believe that there are some universal moral codes, some moral imperatives that I live by, that I will not compromise based on the political grievances of anybody, whether it's Palestinians, Iraqis, or anybody, that we have some moral universal principles that I was taught by my parents and that I live by. And I think, interestingly, that when many of these imams, who are actually politicians that seek to collectivize the Muslim communities, when they try to explain the plight, they use Islam to bring forth a political agenda, and what happens is at the wayside they lose the moral courage, they lose moral clarity, and they become morally inconsistent. And I think that was the teaching moment, is that what we need to step up is Muslims that are ready to take on the political establishment of the Islamists and tell them, listen, you can't continue to hijack our faith and make principles unclear to the world and create a generation of children that are actually thinking that, well, yes, some things are wrong, but if we get pushed enough, we can violate these moral codes. And I think that's how we resurrect the respect of the Muslim community.
What was the mosque's reaction after this debate?
And that's what's amazing, is that after the debate, they even posted the debate on their website in total, because they still didn't think that they couldn't understand the arguments that really marginalized their position. And yet, I then laid out the responses in a couple columns for Family Security Matters afterwards, and it so infuriated them that they then took it upon themselves to use their website, their homepage of a mosque, of a spiritual institution, to basically smear me and slander me publicly. And they actually went to the length of comparing my argument of morality to the arguments of Göring, who was the assistant to Hitler.
Are you kidding?
It basically is another teaching moment for people to see what happens to moderate Muslims that try to put the moral obfuscation and the inability for many of these so-called leaders of the Muslim community to have moral courage, to stand by convictions. And what happens to us that take them on is that we get smeared and we get attached to conspiracy theories. I was attached in this smear on their website in a libelous way to things that have nothing to do with me, but they just want to marginalize me rather than deal with the ideas. And that's why we're going to keep pressing. They even said that it's important for Muslims to stand up and weed out people like Dr. Jasser. And I'm like, what does weed out mean? I mean, it's basically a threat. And, you know, we're not going to go away. That op-ed response was written by a fellow, Sid Shahid, that works with me. So there are other Muslims stepping up to also take on these ideas.
Are you planning any future debates?
We're working on a number of different venues, nothing that I can talk about right now, but there's a couple different states that we are looking to engage the community in. And while some of this does end up unavoidably being a little confrontational, the bottom line is all over the world we're talking about the contest of ideas. How can you have a contest of ideas if we don't see Muslims engaging in where the differences, where the similarities are. What is Islam? What is political Islam? What is militant Islamism? Until Muslims start stepping up and engaging publicly, we're not going to get even out of the box, you know, out of the starting gates on this contest of ideas. So I think this is the method of doing it. No different than Christian Europe went through an Enlightenment process, and you started to have the existential philosophers and the Hobbes and Locke and Jeffersons of our history start to debate that ended up forming our U.S. Constitution. Similarly, Muslims are going to need to start to debate these issues publicly about constitutional law versus political Islam and its threat to secular liberal democracies. And the fact that the bottom line is that people that were at the debate knew that I, as a Muslim, felt more pious, more close to God in societies like America, where the imams and other clerics stay out of government, than in societies like Iran or Saudi Arabia or Syria that are either dictatorships or theocracies, both of which I want nothing to do with.
Well, what needs to happen now?
I think it's important that people realize that this is just the first step in a long journey, that this should hopefully empower other Muslims to start to weigh in the war and the contest of ideas, that we have to start to rediscover what it is to be American, to rediscover the ideas that formed our country of religious freedom for all, and people to choose not to practice faith, people to choose to come in or leave Islam or any faith, and that these ideas are part of what America is all about, and I think it's time to start rediscovering them and not just dealing with victimization and collectivization or identity politics, that it's time to start looking at where the problems are internally. And one of the things that was really clear in the debate, I think, was I felt that the root cause of terrorism is the goals, the political goals of establishing the Islamic State, supposedly, as it's called. And the imam wanted to blame the West, blame America, blame occupation, quote-unquote. And I think that it's important that we realize that any theocracy, when it starts to feel that it needs to have power and the theocrats want to have power, it's going to end up leading towards things like terrorism and oppression. And I think that's the formula that the West has so much proved it to be more successful than theocracies. And this is the debate we need to have in the Muslim community. So people should be empowered to move forward with this and not let themselves be marginalized.
Dr. Jasser, I'm glad to hear more moderate Muslims are standing up to the radicals. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Really appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Savage.
What a sad day it is that Republicans block extra taxes on oil companies. What a sad day it is that the Seven Sister Oil Companies can own a political party like this. What a sad day it is that people in the media can be owned by the oil companies. What a sad day it is that President Bush has the audacity to give a long, teary-eyed interview in Europe right now saying he was misunderstood and he didn't mean to be so macho. It's astounding to me what these people can get away with. P.T. Barnum must be laughing in his grave at these hucksters. P.T. Barnum must be laughing in his grave, considering himself to be just a piker, a small-time con man compared to the Republicans of today. I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like this. He's saying he was misunderstood. There is no war on terror. It was all made up. Well, why doesn't he just bring the troops home now? Answer. There's good money in it. That's why the Democrats don't want them to come home. They never had it so good. They're rolling in fat. When you consider that the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending in this country, so-called earmarks, is Democrat Jack Murtha, the very same man who smeared our U.S. Marines and has ruined the lives of so many Marines with false charges, simply to get appointed to the Senate Appropriations Committee by Nancy Pelosi. It's astounding to me that we have a country left at all. Wait, now here's another story now. Claim referees fixed the NBA playoff series and other games. The corruption is endemic in our country today. It's very much like the 1918 or 1919 World Series that was fixed by the gangster in New York, Arnold Rothstein. It's very much like the administration of that time, that what we have today, of total and absolute endemic corruption from top to bottom. And you know, as a result of that, what's going to happen. You know that the pendulum is going to swing so far to the other direction that we're going to have a disaster in this country. New York, Bernice, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I have a personal anecdote. I wish you would make a comment about it.
Sure.
My granddaughter is graduating from high school, and she was asked to take the lead as a homosexual in a play in her high school.
Isn't that diverse? Isn't that so it puts a warm feeling in my heart, Bernice, that they could take a nice, straight, healthy girl like your granddaughter and open her up to the diversity of lesbianism. That should make you proud, Bernice, that you live in such a tolerant city.
I asked her what was her comment about it, because I told her I was quite upset by it. And she said, well, we have to feel sorry for these people. They can't help themselves.
See, I was told by my son that he said to me, Dad, you don't know how far gone this country is. He said to me, Dad, the children have been brainwashed into thinking that gay is equal to straight, that global warming is real, that animals are superior to mankind. He said, you have no idea that an entire generation has been lost to this left-wing propaganda. And you're just confirming it, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
Why should she feel sorry for lesbians? What is it that they suffer from something? I thought that they're happy and proud. What are they suffering from?
Because she said they can't help themselves, so we should accept them.
Well, it's one thing to accept them. It's another thing to emulate them, isn't it?
Yes.
Bernice, it's not the world you and I grew up in, is it?
No.
Thank you, Bernice. See, there's a heartbroken grandmother. Florida, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, in 03, I bought some property down here in North Florida. It was like a jungle, and I just parked my camper in there, and I had to develop it, so I didn't have any electric or power or anything. I had a little transistor radio, and that's all I could pull in was you on the on 97.3 The Sky, the news station here in Gainesville and Ocala. And
right.
At the time, I was a liberal. I came down from upstate New York, grew up in a small town, a liberal school, and I just didn't know what was out there. And when I started listening to your station, I heard rant and raving and everything, and I've always heard rant and raving from liberals and could never piece it together.
But I hope you didn't become a Republican. You didn't become a Republican, I hope.
I registered as a Republican, but backed off and re-registered as an independent. But you changed the way I think about everything now. And I'll tell you what, I got to thank you. I cannot thank you enough, and I'm so glad. I've called a few other times.
Well, you know, the most dangerous citizen. You know who the most dangerous citizen is, Robert?
The most dangerous citizen
is a citizen who can think for himself.
Yeah, I found that out. And just to
thank you. I'm not trying to cut the man off. That's all. Eugene, Oregon. Wade, next up. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello. I was just wondering, I was born in 74, and my whole life we've been acceptant of politicians that are just liars. And when did it go from Honest Abe to, well, he's a politician, you can't trust him? And when did it become acceptable?
Gee. You've got me there, because we've had corruption in the political system in this country going back to very early times, and there were pretty vicious campaigns. If you study some of the campaign history, accusing each other of deceiving the people. I don't think it's a recent phenomenon. I think that with the advent of big media, it's become easier for politicians to be more deceitful rather than harder. The media would argue that they're the watchdogs, but tell me if you think that the media, big media in particular, are watchdogs or are they lapdogs?
Oh, they're definitely lapdogs.
Thank you very much. That's all. San Jose, Chris, next up. Savage Nation, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I have a comment about that Stanford professor known as KKK Kramer. I wonder how he would like his grading system in the fields of engineering or medicine at Stanford.
Oh, Stanford Medical should next have no grades, so the affirmative action entrants can become surgeons and not feel left out. Well, maybe Mr. Kramer, the dean of the so-called Stanford Law School, could use one of the lawyers that he now produces in one of his lawsuits. You think he would be willing to do that, or you think he's going to pick someone who actually had to get straight A's at a legitimate law school. You know the answer to that one.
Yeah, did you hear
about it's like Fidel Castro when he had his intestinal surgery. I'm sure he didn't use a Cuban doctor. I'm sure he flew one in from Miami.
The guy 26 years ago that sat in jail for 26 years for a crime he didn't commit because of, quote, attorney-client privilege. You know what we had to do to those lawyers? We had to just humiliate the crap out of
them. All I can tell you is that Stanford University eliminating letter grades in the law school is being done only for one reason, no matter what ribbons they put around the rubbish. It's still rubbish. They're doing it strictly so that they can promote more people from the diverse backgrounds and show that they're more liberal than one would imagine, and they're not an elite school. That's what Mr. Marx Kramer is after here. 1-800-449-8255, Florida Jeff. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, this has been the most educational.
Sorry, can't hear you, my friend. New Jersey, Tom, next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, Tom. America, thank you for what you do in trying to save our nation. Long live and prosper.
And that's all you wanted to say?
Yeah, no, I wanted to add that the federal government is broke and they're junkies for new revenue streams. And the latest one is the profits that they're taking in from the oil gangsters. They're taking in tons of money, and they're in on it, and that's why they're not defending us.
Who? You mean the politicians who say that they can't do anything about the Seven Sisters, the cartel?
That's correct. And they're getting
it's a monopoly. This is not free market. It's a monopoly. When you have limited access to a natural resource and limited access to the oil pipelines, that's called a monopoly. And I want to remind the listeners to this show that that's not a free market economy whatsoever, no matter what the blowhard with the golf bag tells them. How can they be so naive?
And it's a revenue stream, Michael. They're junkies for new revenue streams.
Look, the fact of the matter is there's blame on both sides of the aisle. The stupid Democrats lie and tell us that they want new energy sources and they won't permit drilling in Anwar, which is perfect, will be perfectly safe the same way the oil pipeline in Alaska is safe. They will not permit the building of nuclear power plants, which is the way even liberal France produces most of its electricity and power. They want it both ways, and that's the problem. We have totally corrupt politicians in both parties who are useless. They're actually standing in the way of the progress of the nation. They need to get out of the way and let the people take control of this country, or we're all doomed. We are literally in the hands of a bunch of corrupt dunces. Do you know that? Corrupt dunces are running the whole country. Thank you for the call. What do you do if you wake up one day and find out corrupt midgets are running the country? You sit and let the corrupt midgets run the country into the ground? We, the people, need to take control of this country. And believe me, the fraud from Chicago is not going to save you. The invented Messiah is not going to save you. He is part and parcel of the corrupt Chicago machine. Make no mistake about it. He has just been repackaged by his friends in the media. Lake City, Florida. Eli, you're next up. What's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, you are this is just a southern boy, a farmer from Florida that wanted to tell you that you were 100% right about the produce coming out of Mexico.
I know it. And you guys in Florida once had one of the finest tomato production, your farms were the best in the world. And George Bush with NAFTA, after Bill Clinton with NAFTA, virtually destroyed the tomato industry of Florida. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely. They still are the finest in the world, not just the United States, but in the world.
And I assume that you don't put fecal matter on your tomatoes to grow them as they do south of the border.
That's what I was just said. We don't use human feces to fertilize our produce.
Well, you see, it just shows you how elitist you are, Eli, that you don't crap in your tomato fields. You know, it shows you how elitist you are and how racist, actually. In order to be unracist, you should crap on your tomatoes. That way you can produce a tomato that's equal to the rotten, stinking tomatoes from Mexico. And you won't make the growers down there feel inadequate. You understand, Eli? That's the new decree. Crap in your tomato plant.
Well, we want the ones that are down here picking them to feel like they're at home.
Look, Eli, this is a very serious problem. We have tainted tomatoes. We have tainted pharmaceuticals. Virtually every aspect of our life has been destroyed by greed. The bottom line is the almighty dollar and almighty greed, Eli. That's what it all comes down to. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's about greed and the almighty dollar. How big is your farm down there?
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you anymore. I mean, I don't know.
But Eli, how big is your tomato farm right now? How many acres do you have?
We don't harvest anymore. We had to give it up.
You had to give it up. That's because of NAFTA, correct?
Yeah, NAFTA. Exactly right. We had more than 100 acres of tomatoes, watermelon, squash, cucumber. I mean, anything that would grow out of the ground, we had at one time or another. But it's all gone now. We're just.
How is it that a city boy like Michael Savage knows what went on, and a guy like you, which so different from different backgrounds, and yet how come we know what's actually going on in this country and communicate with each other while the corrupt governmental officials pretend that we are stupid and don't know what we're talking about?
I don't know how it happens, but I remember the first time I ever heard you on the radio, and I was like, this man from the Bronx, I understand.
That's all that matters. You and I understand each other, but you in the government and I in the government, we may as well be talking to Martians. God bless you, Eli. I hope you get through life in a decent, honorable way. There's nobody better than farmers. There's nobody more honorable than a farmer, than maybe a baker. I'll be right back. Now, here's a story that is meant only for the lovers of Barack Hussein Obama, who think he is a messiah and a man above men. Here's the headline. Just came out minutes ago. Obama campaign plans fundraisers in China. In China. Now, if you think that's bad enough, Obama collected more funds from overseas than anyone, including $1.6 million, according to the Federal Election Commission, from donors living abroad. It gets worse. Obama funds have also come from addresses in Kabul, Dubai, Palermo, and Sydney, Australia. That's right. The Obama campaign will hold two fundraising events next week in China. Now, what does that tell you about your government? It tells you that your government can be bought and sold by the highest bidder. Tells you that you have a system that is so corrupt that men as meaningless as Obama can be taken seriously as a candidate. A man with no track record, a man with no history, a man with no achievements, a man with nothing but a good voice and a good con, and a desperate populace can have risen so fast and so far for no reason whatsoever. But you better think very carefully about this. Why would he be going, why would he be raising money in China? Why would Chinese be interested in giving money to an American presidential candidate? What's the China connection? Well, what's the Dubai connection? What's the Kabul connection to Obama? What's the Palermo connection to Obama? I'll have to bring you back to 1919 when the World Series was fixed by the gangster. What was his name? Rothstein, Arnold Rothstein. New York gangster Arnold Rothstein supplied the major connections needed to fix the 1919 World Series. At the same time in that period, there was a scandal called the Teapot Dome scandal. When an oil field that was on public land in the state of Wyoming was leased to private citizens without competitive bidding. These transactions then became the subject of a Senate investigation, and several people went to jail. Some did not. Some got away with murder. What you don't know is that Al Gore actually did the exact same thing in the late stages of the Clinton-Gore regime. Al Gore took the Elk Hills Naval Oil Reserve, or a good portion thereof, if I remember correctly, and gave it to the Armand Hammer Company, a company that his father once was the president of the coal division. There was no outcry in Congress at the time, not by the Republicans and certainly not by the Democrats. Al Gore got away with the exact same crime that people went away to jail for during the Teapot Dome scandal. He took the public trust, and he said that he wanted to convert some of it to the free market, and he gave it in a no-bid contest to the Occidental Petroleum Company. Now, that's been swept under the rug. He got away with murder, and now he's on to a bigger scam, which is the carbon credits and the global warming lie. But it just shows you that not only do the rich get richer, as I used to hear over and over again from my mother, but the rich can virtually get away with thievery that would make a poor man blanch. So if a poor black kid sells crack and gets caught because he's starving to death and he doesn't have the desire or brains to go to college, he gets 3 to 5 years. But if a man from a so-called distinguished family whose father was a senator sells off an oil field that belongs to the public to cronies in the oil industry, he not only doesn't go to jail, he actually goes higher up the food chain. What does that tell you? It tells you that we are probably at the end of the road as a republic. It probably ended a long time ago. Portland, Oregon, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, how are you today? I need to let you know I come from the heavily infected state of Oregon, infected, of course, with the disease of liberalism.
Well, that's why it is called Oregon, because the ore is gone. And after the ore was gone, the boll weevils came from San Francisco and infested it with the liberalism that wasn't liberal enough for them. And they went over the pass and brought their disease to your state. It used to be a state of loggers and farmers and people who understood the land. It's now become something other of a mystery land.
Well, I'll tell you, they about 1996, 1997, they tried in the public schools here to supplant the grading system with this certificate of initial mastery, certificate of advanced mastery thing.
Ah, so you went to a no-grade school, and how did that work out? Is that where the children went on in life and did well, or they went on and did not well?
Well, I had already graduated by then. However, my wife's a school teacher in the system. And the children, and they've since gone back to the grading system to go alongside this because they realized that no colleges were accepting these children.
Well, it just shows you how racist and elitist the colleges are. They need to accept stupid children in order to make the children feel good. The only way America can become a third world nation is to dumb down even the law schools and the medical schools. So when you go for a surgery, you might have your throat cut instead of having a bypass operation. That's all I've got to say. Go to michaelsavage.com for these and all the other stories I've talked about. Until then, till tomorrow, with God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.